What experience in your work has especially touched and inspired you?
I think there are a couple, if I can give more than one.
Sure.
May I do that?
Absolutely.
There are two in particular that stand out. I think I actually found a couple. There are a couple of questions that seem to overlap here. So I think the aspects of my work that have been most rewarding is kind of similar to me about the experience one. But I think there is work that we did with the Episcopal Diocese of Massachusetts back in the late 90s, where we were asked to facilitate conversations around sexual orientation and human sexuality. And I think what was particularly inspiring about that was people were very, very, very deeply divided and very suspicious of one another and frightened in many ways, as well as hopeful and faithful that they could achieve some level of understanding. But to see them be able to come together and reach deep levels of understanding, really, really grapple with their deepest beliefs and their differences in their beliefs, and then want to do more. I think there are these situations that happen quite a bit where people want to do more than we expected them to do, or that they signed on for. You can just toss her down if you if you don't want to pet her. In this case, they came together for a series of meetings, the end of which was just to be conversation. And at the end of the third meeting, they decided that they wanted to create a manual for all congregations in Massachusetts to be able to have similar dialogues.
Wow.
So they formed a work group, and they created this really terrific study guide and manual for individual congregations to use. And, you know, we've been able to send it all over the country and to other countries for use in churches. So that's been really exciting. So that was one thing that really touched me and inspired me. And I think...
what sort of resolutions were they able to come up with?
No resolution. Do you mean, was the subject resolved, or...?
Well, I mean, in terms of what did they agree to say? I mean, in a sense, I mean, I understand language is often a large problem when you're talking about very divisive issues, you know, just the very basic words that you can use.
Right.
And, I mean, something with sexual orientation in a religious setting is clearly very provocative. I'm wondering how they could agree to write anything together.
Well, it's really astonishing because they didn't just write a manual. They also wrote a statement of, what do they call it? I don't remember what the exact title was, but it was basically their statement of convergence and divergence, areas which they realized they agreed and believed together, and areas that they disagreed, and then there were areas that they have yet to come to an understanding of, you know, where their agreements and disagreements were. Some of the areas that they were surprised to find convergence in was that both sides had a very, very high view of Scripture. And both sides are very deeply concerned that people have a high view of Scripture and have a deep and ongoing prayer life. Both sides had similar ideas about pastoral care for people who are homosexual. So things like that they were able to say that they agreed on, and then they were able to say that they agreed that they disagreed about certain passages in the Bible and what they had to say about homosexuality. And then there were some areas for further discussion that needed to be carried on as time went on. And our Anglican group, our group of Anglican bishops, did a similar process where they identified areas of convergence, areas of divergence, and areas for continued conversation.
Mm-hmm. And this conversation led to, I imagine, a greater degree of comfort with the other side, a little more knowledge, clarification of the issues, things like that?
Much deeper levels of respect.
Uh-huh.
Deeper levels of understanding of where people were coming from. I think there were misconceptions and stereotypes that both sides held of one another, which were just washed away. So they were able to interact with each other free of all of those, you know, all that sort of baggage, and to interact only on the issues that they disagreed about, but from a position of respect and understanding and empathy, mm-hmm. even though they disagreed. The Episcopal work that I referred to later led to working with 12 bishops and archbishops from around the world for 3 years, 3 week-long meetings over 3 years. They, like the other group, decided that they wanted to do more than just talk, although they felt that that was tremendously valuable. That they wanted to... They saw some systemic supports for dysfunction in the Anglican Communion, in the way that it handled conflict. And they wanted to name those and suggest alternative ways of dealing with conflicts. So they wrote this book, Final Report of the International Anglican Conversations on Human Sexuality, published it and distributed it throughout the Anglican Communion. And it bears witness to their conversations as well as their ideas about what should change in the way that the communion across the world handles conflict. Again, I felt certainly unworthy to be in the presence of such greatness, and that these people were rising far beyond the call that they had been given, the charge that they had been given, to create something that was a gift to the world, really. Those two things are things that really stand out to me as experiences that I've been privileged to be part of, you know, as part of the PCP team. Yeah.